is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Digney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Digney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive. I'm your host, Brad Bigney, and I've got my sweet, sweet, sweet wife, Vicky, here with me today.
Am I really that sweet? I don't know.
You really are. You really are. I wish I'd seen it
He's
in the earlier
kind.
Days. It only took
oh,
me 3 decades to see, gosh, this is a great, great woman. And
took
we laugh.
Took me a while to see it, yeah.
But, and
I was hidden away in there somewhere.
But I want you
my
to know,
side.
This could happen for you. So often couples think, oh, I married the wrong person. Did you think you'd married the wrong person, honey?
I don't know what I'd done.
Okay.
I was so
well,
confused.
I thought I'd married the wrong person.
I just thought,
I was just
live like
it's
this.
Not
this
supposed to
terrible.
Be this hard. We're both Christians.
So
we
hard.
Met at a Bible college, doggone it. Like, we both love Jesus. How could this be this hard? But, oh, It was hard. And now where we are and what we have, we wouldn't be doing these shows if we thought God had done something spectacular and
right.
unusual for us. Because I hate stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, near-death experience, and I saw angels, and I saw lights.
You're one in a million people that this might happen
yeah.
for. That's not our hope.
We
our
are
hope
talking
is
to
God's
you
word.
Each week because we are convinced what he did for us, he could do for
anyone.
Anyone.
Right.
I mean, this is so different. And I do want you to kind of hear, Vicky is Vicky. Now, God showed us both things that we needed to
right.
adjust and repent. But one of the biggest problems is when your heart is not right, you do not even see your spouse clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't even see all that I had and who she was. Because when you go to war quickly, and did it feel like a war, babe?
It did.
Yeah. Because James chapter 4 tells us, where do wars and fights come from among you? And he is not talking about world wars of Palestine and Israel and Ukraine and Russia. And he's talking about relational.
Right.
And the New King James Version actually uses the word war 3 times.
Right.
And so I don't think that's too strong or over the top language. Human beings go to war. And guess what we use in that war very often? Words.
And you said something that just brought to mind something. When you said, I didn't even realize all I had, and I didn't either. And it reminds me of, Brad has this Bible software. What's it called?
Logos.
And it is the most, it's an amazing tool that he uses to do sermons and stuff. But I mean, there is so much. He's gone to all these seminars about.
I don't understand half
right.
of what I have.
He doesn't know what he has.
I've gone to a 3-day seminar and 2 full-day seminars. And every time while I'm there, it begins to make sense. I'm like, oh,
right.
And then as soon as I come home, I'm like, now what did he say?
Right.
And how do I do that? And how?
And such a vast resource, but he only knows probably maybe,
yeah.
I don't know, 30% of it.
And guess what?
What you have.
That is true in your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
There's
no matter who
more
you are
that you are not seeing. And guess what? There are resources you have,
right?
Just like my Logos, that maybe you hadn't tapped into. Notice how often we mention the Holy Spirit and God's word and the power of the gospel and your Savior,
right.
direct access to his throne day and night, 24 hours a day.
And his word that gives us hope that he says, this is how I should be responding to my spouse and acting toward my spouse. He's the one that formed us, created us, made us, designed marriage. He knows best how it works.
I think
that was helpful for me when I finally just came to the point of saying, I don't care what I feel like. I'm going to do what God's word says and what his Holy Spirit is convicting me of. And I'm just going to, like you said early in one of our other shows, I want to please him regardless if Brad changes or not.
Some of you, the best starting
and
point.
And that was a new day for
your marriage to get to a new point. It would be for you to get so desperate. Notice what Vicky just said. I don't care about anything else now.
I was so
I'm
desperate.
I'm going to please you. God, would you please work?
Because in that pleasing Christ,
I want to know what you want, what you say.
Even if it's not changing as rapidly, it never changes as rapidly as we want, but you can still have joy, whereas before, once again, like I've said, my joy was tied to how well are we doing as a couple, or how well my kids are doing, or how well the church is going.
Or am I getting what I want from Brad?
Or am I getting what I want?
Is Brad doing what I want him to do?
Whereas now, that's all off the table. It's like, okay, I'm pleasing Jesus. My aim, and I do it imperfectly, obviously, but my goal is to please him. And it really gives you joy because you know the number one person that designed you and made you and that you have a relationship with, I'm pleasing him.
Yeah.
And if that's in place, all those other things, you're not putting as much stock in them because you're not depending on them for your happiness.
It might be hard for you to hear initially or to embrace initially, but basically what Vicky is saying matches the Bible. Your marriage is secondary. Mm-hmm. Your relationship to God through his son, Jesus Christ, is primary.
Mm-hmm.
And when you make other issues primary that were supposed to be secondary, it almost never, ever, ever moves in a great direction.
Right.
And so both of us got to a better place in our marriage when we just said, we were almost like stripped down from all that I wanted. I remember the day I just gave it to God and said, I am done trying to get what I think I want or deserve or how I thought this marriage should be.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I literally said it. I'm ready to please you and I'll be the husband you've called me to be. And let's just see where you take this.
Mm-hmm.
And he's taken it to a place I could never
imagine.
And
we said before, and I think this is just from Satan, it is scary. It is
scary
to literally.
It was a scary prayer.
To think, I have to follow this man? Wow. Okay, that's what God's called me to do.
And, yeah. And mine was scary too. What if I don't get what I want? What if I'm never happy? What if, what if? But it's led us to a place we never thought possible because God knows what it takes to make your marriage thrive.
Right.
And so part of that, we're talking about communication, but communication has two huge components. Do you know how to speak? Most people can do that to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, right now we're hovering over, do you know how to
listen?
You're like,
much harder.
Well, I only listen if absolutely necessary.
Mm-hmm.
It's far more important than you think because James chapter 1 verse 19 says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And so we're going to unpack a little bit in this show, what does it look like to listen well? Well, to listen well means to, so I hope you realize so many of these things, to do them well takes effort. So if you're showing up in the
home. Lots of effort.
Yeah,
people.
Thinking, I just gave my best. I had to concentrate all day at work. I had to think through paperwork. I had to listen in meetings. And now I'm done. Well, listen to me.
Disastrous.
When you go home, that is your most important place because your marriage is your most important relationship.
Right.
You got to bring your A game.
Yeah. And for those of you thinking, I can't do it. I'm so tired.
They'll help you.
That's when you say, Lord Jesus, as you drive home,
that's right.
Help me.
Because I was guilty of it as a pastor and a guy. I am talked out. I've had meetings. I've dealt with problems. I've listened to people in counseling. And now I want to be D-O-N-E.
Mm-hmm. And
done.
I sense that.
And she sensed that. And so God helps me. I'm like, all right, here we go, God.
Mm-hmm.
You can help me. Because listening well means concentrating on and carefully considering what the other person is saying.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Vicky? Thoughts on listening well?
Well, I think once again, it has to be a choice. I mean, so much of what we're talking about in marriage, it has to be a choice. And you have to, in your mind, decide, I want to concentrate and carefully consider what they're saying. I don't want to think about what, I mean, our first rebuttal is, I'm already forming in my mind what I'm going to say to rebuttal what they just said.
Yeah.
And if you're doing that, I mean, we all do it. It's just,
because you really can't,
you
might think you can, but you can't do two things at once.
No, you can't multitask.
If you are formulating your response and they're not finished talking, you're not really hearing.
And it really shows your heart. I'm not seeking to understand what you're saying.
No.
I'm just trying to formulate why you're wrong and I'm right.
Because it shows you're formulating a response based on the initial seconds they were speaking, and you think you know where they're going, and you already don't like what you think they're saying.
Right.
But you haven't heard them yet.
Right. And many times, I think in our marriage, it was the same way. You say what you always say. I say what I always say. You say it louder. I cry. It's just, it was the same old stuff. It was just exhausting.
It was an exhausting cycle.
It was exhausting.
Yeah. And so one of the best things you could do rather than formulating what you want to say next is cultivate a new habit of asking clarifying questions. So I hope you realize to listen well often means ask good questions and then listen.
Right.
Draw. Think in terms of not, oh, I want to be able to speak to my spouse well. I hope you do. Oh, I want to understand them better and listen well. And that's all about asking good questions. Clarifying questions like, could you explain that a little more? Could you help me understand that a little more? Why is that so important?
And those are life-giving phrases to communication.
Oh.
I mean, really.
Could you say that again? I mean, nothing says to your spouse, I'm listening, like as soon as they pause, instead of you moving it to what you want to say, you say, hey, could you help me understand that? Give me an example.
Right.
Say that again.
It shows they're listening and they're trying to receive what you're saying and they're asking actually for more clarifying questions.
That's right. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to keep talking about what it looks like to talk more effectively, which means you got to listen, which means you need to ask good questions.
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicky in just a moment. You know, it's another episode where the transparency of Brad and Vicky slap me upside the face. Their transparency and willingness to be open and say the things that we're all thinking and we all know. I'm telling you, listen, coming home from work completely, totally exhausted and your wife getting basically the leftovers and the best of your energy for the day. Look, that's very familiar. That's what makes this podcast so incredibly vital to married couples all over the world. We hear from them almost weekly. And something else that should be in your back pocket is the entire repertoire of Fortis Plus. Did I say that right? Repertoire. Anyway, Fortis Plus is our distribution hub where all of the content that we're creating here at Fortis Institute is distributed. If you haven't downloaded Fortis Plus, you are missing out. You get voices like Brad and Vicky's, also Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Dr. John Krotz, Libby Clausen, and Todd Friel, and their teaching on marriage and biblical counseling and parenting and theology, all designed to help you build relationships that honor God instead of just feeling good. It's already full of hundreds, maybe even thousands of hours of audio and video content, and that's not static content because we are adding to it every day. Now, how do you get access to Fortis Plus? All you have to do is go where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org. Why is it free? It's free because of people just like you, people who have decided to stand arm in arm with our ministry. We call them gospel partners around here, and they've been impacted by the content that we're creating here at Fortis Institute at some point in their lives, and they decided, hey, I want more people in more places all over the world to have access to this content. And so they decided to join us as gospel partners to see that that happens. Now, if that is you and you want to join us, we would welcome you with open arms, with one important caveat, that you're giving faithfully to your local church. Because look, if you're not faithfully giving to your local church, don't give to us. You don't hear that from a lot of ministries, but you are definitely going to hear that from ours because your number one giving priority is to your local church, not to a parachurch ministry. So if you're not faithfully giving to your local church, please get that cleaned up. And if you do get it taken care of and you do have a margin where you could join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, then we would gladly stand arm in arm with you. Find out how you can become an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Brad and Vicky. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Digney.
All right, we're back and we're talking about talking. But as we talk about talking, we're talking about listening, because before you talk, you need to have heard well what your spouse is saying, and don't just assume you've got it. So What comes to your mind regarding listening well? How would you listen well to your spouse, honey?
I think another way to listen well is not interrupting when your spouse is speaking, letting them have their full say.
Mm.
And this could be, you know, yelling, cursing, name calling. Hopefully we're not resorting to that. But even up bringing up old issues to win an argument, I mean, that's really exasperating to your spouse because it's like that was years ago. You know, back in 1986, you made a bad financial decision and we're still reeling
from
that.
You mean instead of being hysterical, being historical all the time.
Exactly. That just, there's nothing the spouse can do about that. That is water under the bridge, as they say.
And here's how I would frame that since she's talking about interrupting.
Mm-hmm.
Do not keep interrupting the present with the past.
That's really, really good. Say that again.
Do not keep interrupting the present. You're having a present moment.
Right.
Do not keep interrupting your present communication with
good.
The past. I got to be honest. I've owned it that I was bad in those early marriage years. If Vicky relentlessly still said to me, it's just like back in the trailer. It's just like when we, and it's just like, and I told you and you didn't. That is not how to have a good relationship.
Right.
That is not how to thrive. And so, yes, don't interrupt people when they're talking, but when you go historical, you're interrupting the present.
Mm-hmm. That's really good.
I mean, there is nothing we can do about the past.
It's all been done. Right. And you can't go back and correct it, so why are we bringing it up?
So what do you think is going on with someone who just keeps wanting to go back to the past? Why?
I think sometimes they're trying to show you perhaps a pattern, or I'm trying to convince you of why what you're doing now was like that. I don't know exactly, but
I think I know.
Tell me.
When I see it in counseling, it usually is a person who is still busy trying to prove to their spouse, look how right I always am. That's why I go back to everything you've ever done that differed with me.
Right.
And I want you to see again, I was right. You were wrong. Mm-hmm. You should have listened to me. You should have listened to me. You should have nobody wants to live in that environment.
Well, and I think it's a no-win for your spouse. It's like you cannot do anything about what happened in the past. It's all done.
Because here's the other thing you need to, we already really dug in, but what the heart of that is pride. Just because you were right in the past doesn't mean you're right now. And
that's your perspective.
Because here's the other thing you need to keep in mind. The way we recall the past almost always has us as more of a hero than we really were.
Painful.
Every human being, because we're what?
Sinful.
Sinners.
Right.
We tend to frame it up in a way that I'm the hero.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the hero. So that's already not great. But then if it comes out of your mouth that you have to retell it again.
Right. And I think that just really puts your spouse on the defensive. And I cannot imagine anything, to be honest, more exasperating. It's just like, okay, I can't, I don't even know where to go.
Because it really is exasperating is a good word for it. It's just, and here's what it does. It does not promote fresh, good, fruitful, present communication.
Right.
What does it do? It shuts down communication.
Because you're living in the past.
Because you've moved it from right here, right now, back.
Mm-hmm.
Back. Now, I know you mean, I think, as I've asked questions in counseling, I think I know why they're doing it.
Right.
They simply want to go historical and then come back. But me going historical is to remind you that when we come back to the present, you should listen to what I think more than what you think. Because I just proved, quote, to you, how I've been right in the past. And so now, right now, so if you, whether you realize it or not, it's a way of shutting down their opinion and their view and exalting yours as more accurate, more important.
And it's just not going to be productive. I think another way is blaming everything on the other person. This is all your fault. Like, once again, I'm not saying it can't be, okay, it's 80 theirs, 20 yours, or 90 theirs, or it could be 90 yours and 10 theirs. I mean, there's different percentages, but to have someone say, this is all your fault, or this is the reason this all went south was because of you, that's very, once again, exasperating. Yeah. And that's these, not going to make for good communication. And it's going to make your partner defensive. Like, who's going to sit there and let that be said? They're just going to come back defensively to try to prove that what you said is not true. It wasn't all my fault. You did blah. And pretty soon you're back in the past. Once again, let's stay in the present.
Yeah.
And I know that is hard. I think some things, that's why you need to deal with what's been in the past, which we'll hopefully get on one day in forgiveness and things. But
we're talking about communication stoppers.
Right.
This will shut down communication. And it is not a way to fruitfully begin to communicate,
right,
to talk about something in the present.
Right.
Blaming and going historical.
And I do
blaming
think.
And going historical.
It's somehow, this is what we did. I mean, it's just what we resort back to, going historical. And it's never helpful. It doesn't help.
No.
You're going to see it your way. I see it my way.
Yeah.
So it's not productive.
And you know, sorry, the further we get away from those events, the less accurate we are
true.
In recalling them.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You know, it's the same thing that we always think, oh, the past was so wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then you drive back to your grandmother's house and you're like, this wasn't so great.
Have we told the story about one time when I was in my youth group at Sherwood Baptist, we did this musical called Breakfast in Galilee.
Oh.
And so Brad was our first church, Brad was the worship and youth leader. And so I said, we had a youth choir. That's back in the day when you had a choir. And I said, you've got to get Breakfast in Galilee. This was before the internet. So literally he called around or he'd get two copies here, three copies here.
You've learned, hopefully, if you've been listening to the show, a little bit about me. This guy is serious and disciplined and regimented, will go after something and get it done.
So you couldn't find Breakfast in Galilee musicals online.
I mean, every time I turned around, she was just emoting over Breakfast in Galilee. Oh, Breakfast in Galilee.
I would sing the songs.
And so, this is before computers and the internet. I am calling publishing houses and they're
and
like
other churches
not
like,
in
hey,
print
we have
out
12.
Of print. I spent not weeks but months, one little copy at a time, tracking down and buying used out of print copies of Breakfast in Galilee. This will also date us. And finally a cassette tape of the soundtrack that you needed to play as you sang it. And I'll never forget sitting in my office. I mean, I couldn't have been more excited. It was like someone
they're
gave
all
me
here.
Tickets to an NFL football game, a trip to Maui.
Yeah.
It has happened. And I hit play on that cassette tape.
He'd never listened to it before.
And I was just like, I could not be more underwhelmed.
It was good back in the day.
And then what was so funny is it's not like we just have a very different opinion on music. I took it home to her. I took a book. I took a cassette tape. And what happened, honey?
You played it and I was just like, oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, it's not as good as I remember. Mm-hmm. So you don't always remember things the way they actually happened.
And so keep this in mind.
Breakfast in Galilee.
The past is not always as great as you thought. And this would help your marriage. It's not always as awful as you're choosing to
recall it.
And it's certainly not as much you being the hero as you recall it. If you were involved in that past painful moment, it is likely that you played a part in that being painful and less than great. The way I love to ask couples in counseling, because we all tend to frame it up, is it's all my spouse's fault. It's all my spouse. I like to ask, what part have you played in the demise of this marriage?
The demise. We don't use that.
Well, by
much.
The time I get
demise.
Them, people tend to wait till it's awful, right? You know, I told you about the couple in another city that reached out long distance wanting help, and she's ready to live upstairs and just text him. Mm-hmm. That's when they come to me.
Yeah.
Oh, and so it does seem like a demise. This thing's about to die.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And so it's very important that each person own you. So no matter how bad it is, where you are in your marriage, you need to understand you've played a part in the demise.
And this was helpful to be. Let's
marriage.
Say, okay, my part was 20%, his was 80%. I need to work 100% on my 20%. Yeah. Or if mine was the 80, I need to work 100% on my 80 and let him work 100%
that's
on
right.
his 20.
Never mind who's
and
most right, who's
for
most
me.
Wrong.
Right.
Whatever God shows you mm-hmm. is your part.
Right.
You say, God, I'm going to work on it 100%. I'm going to leave her to you. I'm going to leave him to
Very
you.
Very helpful.
But you first got to be willing to say, what part have I played mm-hmm. in the demise of this marriage? Oh, if you want your marriage to begin to thrive, you got to have the right heart. God, I want to please you. And then you've got to be able to talk. And to talk well means to listen even better.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.